In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is the Feast of the Purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and it is also the presentation of our Lord in the temple. And as it is our custom on certain feast days to speak beforehand, before the ceremony begins, we do that because when there is the sacramentals are blessed and there is a ceremony before the Mass, it is good for all the faithful to understand and have a greater appreciation of the doctrine before we actually do the blessings. This feast is one of the most, if not the most ancient feast in honor of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And it goes back to the city of Jerusalem, the very center of Christianity in the early church. And we know that because there are many records, documents attesting to that. Now many of you, if not most of you, have heard a lot of these details, maybe not all of them, but we always repeat all these doctrines and facts about the feast to help us to better appreciate it. And I make that point because for the saints in their lives, they never grew tired of hearing the priest preach about doctrine. In fact, they wouldn't be satisfied with one sermon a week. They would follow saints like St. Anthony all over the hillsides and the country just to hear him preach. So it is because of our indifference or our lassitude that maybe we become fatigued when we hear sermons. But I don't think that's the case here. So we have this feast for in honoring the Blessed Virgin Mary, her purification. Now it is held on this day because in the Mosaic Law, this is God's law given to Moses, describing in the book of Leviticus how a woman, when she gave birth, for 7 days she was unclean, ritually unclean. And then after that, she had to wait another 30 days if she gave birth to a boy to enter the temple to be purified. The reason is because it was considered that the process of childbirth was so sacred, and because there is in that process and in other processes there is the shedding of blood, which is always held by God and the chosen people to be holy and sacred. If the woman gave birth to a girl, it was 80 days. Double. And that is not because of discrimination. Don't get worried, ladies and girls. Do not think that. The reason is because for a woman to be born, a girl, she had the vocation, most likely, of going through that process of giving birth when she was an adult woman, so is considered with even greater reverence and awe when a girl would be born. So that's why it was 80 days. Now we know, of course, that the Blessed Mother did not have to be purified because she was conceived without sin. She had no need to go to the temple. And our Lord did not have to be presented in the temple to be ransomed, as it was the case for all Hebrew children or boys and girls. But just as we saw on January 1st when our Lord, just 1 week old, underwent the ritual of circumcision, so did our Lord and the Blessed Mother submit to these ceremonies. Because as our Lord said, it is right, it is just that we do this, as he said at his baptism, to the protests and objections of St. John, because the ways and the thoughts of God are very mysterious. And he wanted his Son, who took on our human flesh, in order to redeem us on Calvary, he wanted him to be redeemed, ransomed in the temple, and to go through this ceremony along with the Blessed Virgin Mary. As we know, the origin of life, of human life, of physical life, of spiritual life, is God himself. However, because of the sin of Adam, and with the cooperation and the instigation of Eve, but especially because it all started with Lucifer deceiving our first parents, sin came into the world. Now, just a few days ago, I was, as all the priests here do, with adults, young people, and children, instructing them in their catechism. So we have this man who's early 30s, and we have started once again teaching him because he doesn't know if he wants to be a Catholic. But he is a sincere man in the military. And he thought, I'd like to know more about the Catholic faith. And we were explaining to him this very point about how sin came into the world through the deception of Lucifer on the human race. But we told him this, as you have heard before, it is a greater act of God to bring good from evil than to create a creature, even an angel, from nothing. And that is one of the reasons theologians tell us why God permitted sin to enter the world. God is given great glory by deciding in a certain time, 2,000 years ago, to send his Son, God the Son, equal to God the Father, equal to God the Holy Spirit, to take on our human flesh and become one of us, and to live among us, secretly, anonymously, for most of his life. And then, at the end of his life, our Lord begins his public life of preaching, teaching, performing miracles, not to glorify himself, but to prove what he was saying, that it was true. And the whole point of it is to bring us back to heaven where we belong, which is our home. It may seem like in a faraway, distant land, our home, heaven, and all the difficulties and travails to get there, but that is where we belong. So out of love for his poor creatures, God the Son suffers in his life, but especially on the cross, crucified by his own people who forced the pagans, intimidated them, the Romans, Pontius Pilate, and died for our sins. rose again the third day, glorious and immortal. His body was perfect, glorified. And then after remaining another 40 days, ascended into heaven as a preview for all of us as what we're supposed to do. Now this feast is also called Candlemas Day because it is the Mass of Candles. And that part of the ceremony came attached to this feast some centuries later. But it is all connected to the fact that the candle represents Christ. Candles were used by the earliest Christians in the catacombs to give light because they're in total darkness. I don't know if you've ever been underground in a cave, but I was one time in a cave hundreds of feet below the earth's surface in South Dakota. They have these caves there. And you take an elevator all the way down, and then they turn out the lights, and there is not one trace of light. And it is quite frightening, even though you're with a group of people. Complete darkness. And that is really what the Christians, how they had to hide at the beginning to offer the holy sacrifice of the Mass. But they would light the candle to give them light, but it was a symbol of Christ because he says, I am the light of the world. And from the earliest days of the church, the candle, and then especially the Paschal candle, represented Christ for the Christians. So the candles that you will receive today at the ceremony have a connection to the two great feasts of the church, Christmas. This feast has sort of, in fact, it has a preface from the Feast of the Nativity. So it's a remembrance of just a few weeks ago. Oh, the light of the world, our Lord entered into the world to dispel the darkness of the devil and his agents on this planet. And then this feast is also a preview of Easter. So when you go home and you light your candle, it is an extension of the Paschal candle. Remember what St. Anselm said 1600 years ago. The wax of the candle represents the flesh of Christ. It is made by virginal bees, worker bees. And then the wick represents his divinity, rather his soul, and then the flame his divinity. So when the candle is lit and you're holding it, it is very powerful in helping you to pray to God and to resist temptation. And so that is why we have the procession with the candle. Obviously, in dioceses and churches years ago and centuries ago, the procession would be throughout the city with the priest or bishop carrying the candle throughout the town to proclaim the divinity of Christ to everyone, both believer and non-believer. And then when the procession ends, the candle comes back into the church. If we'd been outside, that would be the case. And it is a symbol of our Lord entering the temple, as when the Blessed Mother brought him. So really the whole point of this feast is to lift us from the world, from the depths of sin. That's what it is. As every Mass and every feast day is, but especially this feast. And to be docile to the actual graces that the Holy Spirit gives us today to do that. It is This feast also, in a certain way, a continuation of the feast of the Epiphany, because our Lord once again is manifested. He was, at that time when Blessed Mother with St. Joseph brought our Lord into the temple, to this prophet Simeon, this old man who was promised by God that he would not die before he would see the Redeemer. And here the Blessed Mother presents our Lord as an infant into the arms of Simeon. What a huge grace. His whole life was for that moment, just like with the three kings. Their whole life was determined and prepared them for when they walked into the house in Bethlehem. They saw the child and they fell down and worshipped him. But however, and this is very important, even though we do not appreciate it, and because of our weakness, our darkness of mind, when we receive the Holy Eucharist, that's even more perfect and closer to our Lord. We are closer to Him than when Simeon received the infant in his arms. So it might be a good idea, in fact, you should do this, after you receive communion today, to pray and then look at your missal and read the Nunc Dimittis, the words from the Gospel, what Simeon said. He said, "Now you can dismiss your servant because I have seen the light of revelation. I've one with our Lord now because I hold him in my arms." And we have just take a few moments to just read and to emphasize a few points about the five beautiful prayers used to bless the candles. That shows how great these sacramentals are. Because usually a blessing is one or two prayers. These are five prayers that the priest recites to bless these candles. And in the first prayer, the church is recalling to us how this perfect wax, which is the work of bees, that through the invocation of the calling upon his holy name, the name of Jesus, and by the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we may have, after receiving this sacrament, we may have health of body and soul, whether on land or sea. So it can restore health to us. And that's been known to happen, that the church gives the sacramental to a person and they are cured of their malady. But more importantly, they are freed from some evil influence or vice that is in their soul. The third prayer, among all the invocations it makes, it tells us it's begging God that the darkness of the night would be dispelled, would be removed from us. And it says that illumined by the invisible fire, that is, by the radiance of the Holy Spirit, we may be delivered from the blindness of all vice. And that the eye of our mind being cleansed, we may be able to discern those things that are pleasing to you and profitable to our salvation. profitable for our salvation. That means anything that will help us to get to heaven. The last point we're going to make is just about the candle that is present before us 24 hours a day, and that is the sanctuary lamp right here. Because the fourth prayer of the blessing talks about the oil that is used in the lamp. And it says this: O Almighty and Eternal God, by your servant Moses, you commanded the purest of oil to be prepared for lamps to burn continually before you. So, all the way back to the time of Moses, there was a pure oil that was used in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, or next to the Ark of the Covenant, because that symbolized the presence of God. Now, in this chapel, that candle is lit all the time. I mean, all the time. And it, of course, we know, when that is lit, that is a sign that the Holy Eucharist is present in the tabernacle. How many churches today, Catholic churches, don't have a sanctuary lamp, or they put up an electric light, or the Blessed Sacrament is moved into the side chapel? Incidentally, just to be exact, and just so you know, in large cathedrals for centuries, huge churches, just gigantic, the Blessed Sacrament was not normally kept in the tabernacle at the main altar. That was reserved for the Mass of the Pope or the Bishop. And because the church was so huge, because of all the Christians, they would have a side chapel where the Blessed Sacrament was kept in the tabernacle, where people would pray. And that's where the sanctuary lamp was. And that's been the custom of the church for years. Now, what the ones that are occupying formerly Catholic churches, because it's an absolute disaster what goes on in those churches, they say, oh, we're going to go back to the ancient practice and we're going to put the tabernacle in a side room or off to the side. So that's exactly in 1970, that's what they did at Divine Redeemer Church, where I was baptized and where I received my first Holy Communion and where I was confirmed. And all of a sudden, and that church is maybe three or four times bigger than this church, they move it off to the side because of their irreverence and their unbelief. They're not doing it because the church is big or there's a place for the people to pray. They move the tabernacle off to the side, but it's still in the church, and you see they put up this ugly sanctuary lamp, which was so covered with metal that you could barely see the flame. And that was, of course, by design, because you can't see the flame. Here, you can, because the flame represents Christ. I just tell you that so that you know the difference between what happens here and what happens down the street, in the city, across the world, virtually every place else that claims to be Catholic. You have to be 100% dedicated to Christ, to give your heart and soul, mind and strength. That's what our Lord said. And those words from Deuteronomy were said thousands of years earlier to Moses and to the chosen people. To love the Lord your God with your whole heart and soul and mind and strength. And as the second commandment says, to love your neighbor as yourself for the love of God. And that's why we're here. That's why we celebrate offer this Mass today and perform this beautiful ceremony that we all, as you can know, have a privilege. We have the privilege to be here today. You should think of it this way. You should kiss the ground, kiss the floor of the chapel. Think you're allowed by God to be among the few to honor Him on His feast day and the Blessed Mother's feast day today. And to receive the sacramental to help you lead a holy life. As it says in the prayers, to give up the vices and the habits of sin and to be strong against the temptations of the devil. So we hope this prepares you for this ceremony, and now we will bless the candles and offer this Mass in honor of the purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary and the presentation of our Lord in His temple. May God bless you.